Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is one verse from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So far, text. In Christ Jesus, the greatest gift ever given, dear fellow redeemed. On Christmas Day, we brought our midweek Advent series of Jesse Tree to an end by learning that Jesus is the first fruit of that tree. And the good news is that we're part of that tree too. We're part of Jesus' family tree, alone through faith in our Lord and Savior. This morning, we're going to bring to an end our Sunday Advent series, which is rediscovering Christmas by looking at four of the gifts and blessings that our Savior gave not only to the people of his day, but also to us, and that is hope, peace, joy, and love. Our Sunday morning journey over the past 4 weeks has shown us that Advent is a season of expectant waiting. The Old Testament waited for 4,000 years for Jesus to come, and so we wait for Christmas too and celebrate his birth. But it's also expected waiting for a second coming when he'll come and conclude his redemption of all of us by taking us to heaven to be with him. This Christmas story is a powerful story. It's full of wonder, miracles, real people, real life. It's a story of Jesus come to earth as the greatest, most wonderful gift ever given to humanity. And as we walked through this journey on Sunday morning, we saw that there were some really different kinds of people that Jesus met, or that met Jesus in his arrival. We've seen that he brought those gifts, peace, hope, peace, joy, and love, to all these variety of people, but also brings the same thing to us today. And so this morning we're going to briefly retrace some of our steps that we took over the past 4 months or 4 weeks, and speak about what is Christmas really all about? What does Christ coming to this earth really mean to you and me? And our first theme, our theme is finding Christ in our world. Our first point is from our first sermon 4 weeks ago, finding hope in our uncertainties. When uncertainty surrounds us, the promise of hope is what gives us strength to keep on going. The promises of hope in Jesus fuels our faith. Hope is that whisper that says, I know this is true. It's the spark in the coal that roars into a fire. It's that first light of the sun starting to come over the horizon, and then the full sun comes up on a new morning. Throughout the history of the Jewish people, the people were waiting for this. They were longing for this covenant to come to pass. The Lord said he would restore them. He would keep them as his people. And yet they were carried into captivity. They were plundered. The people began to cry out, how long, O Lord? Year after year, decade after decade, century after century, for several millennia, waited for the Lord to fulfill his promise. But there were some who were faithfully watching and waiting, keeping their hope alive, expectantly trusting that the Lord would indeed fulfill his promises. Simeon and Anna were two of those people. Anna knew loss, disappointment, being a widow for many, many years. And yet Anna and Simeon did not abandon hope. And when they saw the baby at 6 weeks old in the temple, they knew and they believed that's the Messiah. That's the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. They were ready and waiting for that moment. And they embraced that moment of hope fulfilled by praising God, worshiping God, and letting their flame of hope show to other people, proclaiming that flame of hope to others and spreading it beyond. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, how is the flame of your hope? today. It goes without saying that this has been a pretty tough year. In fact, this is the kind of year that can easily extinguish anybody's hope in the future. And yet, no matter where you are, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what's happening in your life, we have the hope fulfilled in Christ, the baby born at Christmas. Because this Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us forever. God has come to resolve that hope, restore that hope, the hope of our salvation, the hope of our redemption, the hope of our forgiveness, the hope of our healing, spiritual healing, the hope of being with us every day of our lives through all our trials and troubles, and the hope of coming again someday to take us to be with him in heaven. And so this morning, as we once again humbly kneel at the manger of our Savior Jesus and worship him, we find the renewal of this hope, the strength to face the next day, this next year, in fact, our whole future, with our Savior beside our side, beside us, with his powerful word. So we don't have to whisper, we can shout, I know that it is true. We closed our first sermon 4 weeks ago on hope with these words from Paul to the Romans. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our second point is finding peace in our struggles. Every one of our struggles are real, but the peace of Christ strengthens us even in our darkest of days. The angels began their announcement to those shepherds in the dark night in Bethlehem in the fields with the words, do not be afraid. And of course they were afraid because they're human beings. They were standing in front of terrifying, majestic, spiritual, heavenly angels who suddenly filled the sky and were telling them a very strange, strange message. And there is so much in this world that can make us afraid too and fearful. For us, it's sometimes the normal pressures of life. It's the disappointments, the failures, the futilities, the struggles, the uncertainties of life in this sin-filled world. And that's true every year, not just this year where there's this global pandemic. But in Jesus, we have the Prince of Peace who has come to bring us this new kind of peace. Not a peace between people, a peace between us and our Heavenly Father. We read again the words of the angels. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. This peace, which is the Jewish word shalom, literally means oneness, fullness, safety, completeness, wholeness. And that's ours through Jesus. That's the peace that restores our relationship with our God. That barrier, that wall of sin has been torn down so that we're at one with God and God is at one with us. There's a wholeness, there's a oneness now between us and our Creator that was destroyed when Adam and Eve fell into sin. No matter what swirls and storms around us, we have peace because Jesus Christ has come to pay for our penalty, to wash away our sins and make us at one with our Heavenly Father. We mentioned this in our second sermon about the eye of the hurricane. The eye of the hurricane is perfect peace. It's calm. Well, that's kind of what Christmas is all about. Before Christmas, the world was in chaos. And after Christmas, the world was in chaos again. But it seems like that night, there was a quiet, there was a peace in the world that the angels then suddenly broke open and proclaimed that peace has come in the person of Jesus. The eye of the hurricane. May we rediscover this peace of Jesus during this Christmas season, the peace of contented oneness and wholeness with their Heavenly Father, even in the midst of life's hurricanes and storms. We know that these storms will come. They come into every one of our lives, no matter who you may be. The winds may be howling right now in your life. Step into the shelter of peace with Jesus. Look to the Lord. Turn to Jesus, who brings peace for your fears, for your worries, for your cares, for your needs, for your wants. We close every single sermon with these words. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In our second sermon on peace, we concluded with these words from the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Our third point is finding joy in our discouragements. King David wrote in Psalm 30, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Sometimes that night of sadness and grief and suffering seems to go on and on and on. And sometimes it's night after night after night. But the Christmas good news of great joy in Christ strengthens us to be able to sustain us to grief and sorrow. We saw that in Elizabeth and Mary as they together rejoiced in their miraculous pregnancies. Elizabeth rejoiced because her prayers had been heard. She now would become a mother after so many years of not having a child. And her shame had now been taken away. We saw the joy in Mary as she understood, accepted, and welcomed the fact that she would be the mother of the very Son of God himself. Surely Mary knew that she would face scorn, ridicule, possibly even disbelief and misunderstanding with this pregnancy outside of wedlock. And yet she rejoiced with Elizabeth for what God had done for her, not even thinking, giving any thought to her personal future. For most of us, the season of Christmas is also a joyous time of songs, caroling, worshiping, celebration, tradition. But for some, this expectation of Christmas joy gives way to the loss of loved ones who have passed away and are no longer there to celebrate with them. For some, their disappointment and pain, and then they feel guilty about not being able to rejoice during this happy, happy time. May we all rediscover joy this Christmas season as we choose to rejoice, and that is, return to joy. And we do that by focusing on Jesus, and his word. As we pour out our hearts to him, pour out our needs and our cares and our concerns, in the midst of our pain, he transforms our weeping into joy so that we can appreciate all that he has done for us. Remember the words we close with in that sermon? Peter wrote, "Whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And finally, our fourth point is finding love in our differences. The love of Christ runs deeper than any differences we may have with its grace and forgiveness and peace. You know, we long deeply to be loved. We long deeply to love. The desire of love is so dominant in our culture that we have songs and movies and TV shows and literature written about love. Longing for love, looking for love, finding love, losing love. In fact, at Christmas, there's even a season of holiday romance movies on the Hallmark Channel that talks all about that kind of stuff. We are captivated by love. And yet, when you look at your life, we see how hard it is and how badly we do love each other individually or collectively as a society. Instead of a culture that is exemplifies love, we see in our nation, in our world, a culture that emphasizes selfishness, that emphasizes division, conflict, hatred. Despite our best intentions, our sinful heart finds it hard to love like Jesus did. But Jesus, on the other hand, is that bridge of love that unites us. He's that long-promised Messiah who was sent by God because God wanted to show us how much he loved each of us. That even though we rebelled against him and continually sin every day, he still loves us. He sacrificed his own son to pay for all of our sins. And when he did this, Jesus made the way for us to be restored to our God, restored in a loving relationship to our God, who is love himself. And as we explored this love on our Advent journey, we saw how God had gathered so many unique and different people to see this baby Jesus in his arrival. We discovered how these people represented the barriers and the divisions that God was breaking down and uniting. There was the young and the old. There was the earthly and the heavenly. The poor and the lowly. And the noble and the rich. The Jew and the Gentile. And all those examples showed to us that God had planned salvation for every single person in this world. Jew and Gentile alike. And so as we continue our Christmas worship this morning, we rediscover this love of Christ, the perfect love that allows us to experience complete oneness, complete acceptance of our God, that his perfect love removes our sins. His perfect love tells us he'll be with us every day throughout our life, and he will take away our fears. And as this love washes over us, it compels, it propels us to also reach out across those divisions to other people, enemies, those who don't look like us and don't act like us, and to give them forgiveness and grace in all humility. We close with the Apostle Paul's words. I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And we're back to where we began. Our theme, finding Christ in our world, our individual life. Christ has come to give us hope, peace, joy, and love. Christ has come to change our world and us forever. Such a humble birth, such a lowly beginning, and yet Jesus' life is just like ours. He was born a helpless little baby. Jesus is one of us. He took upon himself our nature so that he would know what we're going through. He would experience what we're going through. When you're going through illness or sadness or grief or loss or loneliness or good times, Jesus knows what's it like. He is hope, joy, peace, and love, all personified and wrapped up in this person of Jesus, restoring to us this blessed relationship with our God. So this Christmas and every day, we discover that in his great love, God gave everything he had so that we might have everything we need. We needed forgiveness. He gave us his son from heaven to wash away our sins with his precious blood. We needed peace with God, and he sent the Prince of Peace, who brought us back into this loving relationship of peace with our Father. We needed power against Satan, and Jesus came as a conqueror who defeated Satan, not only when in the wilderness, but then by his death and by his empty tomb. We needed comfort in life's sorrows and sadness, and the Lord sent us our comforter, Jesus, to wash away our tears, and we need assurance in the moment of our death. And the Lord sent us his Son, who rose from the dead, who's already conquered death for us. Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us forever. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Let's hold him in our hearts with hope fulfilled, as Simeon and Anna did. Let us come and fall down before him and worship in peace, as the shepherds did. Let's rejoice in his birth, as Elizabeth and Mary did. And let us rediscover this child of love, our Lord and Savior, as the Magi did. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Christ has come. Christ is present with us today in his word. And Christ is coming again. I know this is true. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.